We continue our study of Acts chapter 14 this morning, and we will begin in verse number 14, and we will complete the chapter, Lord willing, in a little while. After arriving in Iconium, Paul and Barnabas visited the Jewish synagogue in Iconium, where they proclaimed the gospel and saw many Jews and Gentiles saved, which resulted in opposition from the unbelieving Jews. In spite of the opposition, Paul and Barnabas stayed a long time in Iconium, boldly proclaiming the gospel and performing miracles to demonstrate the truth of their message. But the Jewish opposition, which divided the city, eventually resulted in an attempt to stone Paul and Barnabas. Opposition to their ministry resulted in Paul and Barnabas fleeing to Lystra and Derbe from Iconium, where they proclaimed the message of salvation. The healing of an impotent man in Lystra amazed the people, who then attributed deity to Paul and Barnabas, referring to Barnabas as Jupiter and Paul as Mercury, and prepared to worship them with a sacrifice. As we closed our message last Sunday morning, we asked, now what are Paul and Barnabas going to do? As we continue, we see that with difficulty, Paul and Barnabas stopped the effort of the people to worship them. Subsequently, Paul was stoned, dragged outside of Lystra, and left for dead. But the disciples observed Paul rising up and re-entering Lystra. As we begin with verse 14, we read, which, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, as indicated by the italics, which has been supplied by the translators. It refers to the priest of Zeus or Jupiter having brought oxen and wreaths of flowers in preparation for doing sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English. It is the word which has appeared frequently at the beginning of each verse in this chapter, and it's used to transition from one thought to another in the context, and is variously translated, and, now, then, or but. When the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, is used in conjunction with ran, indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of ran. It is literally the apostles Barnabas and Paul having heard. The apostles refers to those sent on a mission. Although Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, which means that he was sent on a mission by Jesus Christ, Barnabas was not an apostle in this sense. However, both were apostles sent by the church at Antioch, and this is the correct understanding of apostles in this verse. Both Paul and Barnabas had been sent out by the church at Antioch as a result of the direction of the Holy Spirit. They rent their clothes is used in conjunction with ran. It has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to ran. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of ran. It is literally having torn their clothes. Their clothes, where there refers to Paul and Barnabas, is their cloaks or their robes, and is referring to their outer clothing. These outer garments were torn as a sign of grief over what the priest of Zeus was doing. Ran in among the people, where ran speaks of rapid motion forward into, is rushed into or leaped into the crowd or the populace, crying out is used in conjunction with ran, indicating time or a fact in addition to ran. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing or repeated and occurring at the same time as the action of ran. If showing time, it's understood as while or while they were crying out. If showing a fact in addition to ran, it's understood in the sense of and were or and they were crying out. Verses 15 through 17 record the words Paul and Barnabas spoke in restraining the people from sacrificing to them and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." And continues the thought of crying out. Saying is used in conjunction with ran in verse 14, indicating time or a fact in addition to ran. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing or repeated and occurring at the same time as the action of ran. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while or while they were saying. If showing a fact in addition to ran, it is understood in the sense of and were or and they were saying. Sirs is men. It's the term for adult males, and it's understood in the sense of gentlemen. Why do ye these things? Where ye is, you plural, and refers to the priest of Jupiter and the people with him is, why are you doing these things? These things, which refers to bringing oxen and wreaths of flowers in preparation for offering oxen as a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas, has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, why these things are you doing? We, which refers to Paul and Barnabas, is emphatic. We also are men of like passions with you, suggests we also are human beings with the same nature as you, meaning similar to you or like you. Men is the generic term for humanity. Of like passions has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and we with the same nature are with you, human beings. And preach unto you is used in conjunction with our, indicating a fact in addition to our. It is literally preaching good news or proclaiming the gospel to you. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing. It might instead be understood as describing men, indicating what sort of human beings Paul and Barnabas are. If so, it is understood in the sense of who are preaching good news or who are proclaiming the gospel to you, that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, indicates the purpose or intended result of Paul and Barnabas preaching the gospel to these people. That is understood in the sense of in order that, or with the result that ye should turn, where ye is you plural, referring to the priest of Jupiter and the people with him is you turn, and speaks of them changing their minds from these vanities, suggests from these worthless, from these vain, or from these empty things, which refers to their worshiping Zeus or Jupiter and the other Greek gods. Unto the living God is to the living God, and indicates the one to whom they should turn. And it's reminiscent of what we see in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, which says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein identifies the living God as the creator of everything, which is who, and refers to the living God. Remember now, with the Jews in the synagogue, Paul and Barnabas had quoted the Old Testament scriptures in an attempt to show that Jesus was the Messiah. But with these pagan Gentiles, rather than starting with the scriptures, Paul started with the creation. As you witness to people, you might want to take note of the distinction here. To people who are familiar with Christianity, you might use the Bible. But to people who are from pagan nations, who have no knowledge of Christianity, you might be better off starting with the creation and the fact that the creation exists because somebody created it. Made is understood in the sense of created. What God created is heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. You notice it didn't just happen because of some gases that got together and had a big bang. No, that didn't happen because of that. There's God and he created these things. Heaven speaks of the atmospheric or stellar heavens, which these Gentiles could observe, not speaking of heaven as the place where God dwells. God also created the earth on which these Lycaonian Gentiles lived, and the sea. Together, heaven, earth, and the sea refer to the entire universe. And all things that are therein is, and all the things in them, all the things in heaven, in the earth, and in the sea. As we move into verse 16, we see that it continues the record of what Paul and Barnabas said in stopping the people in Lystra from offering sacrifice to them, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Now, who refers to the living God, the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them? In times past means in the generations which are past or in the past generations. In times past has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in the King James Bible. Suffered is permitted or allowed. What God permitted was all nations to walk in their own ways. That is, all the nations to be conducting themselves, living or walking in their own ways. And the tense of walk indicates ongoing or continuing action. In their own ways refers to their overall conduct. That is, the way they habitually lived. Of course, we know that their ways were characterized by sinfulness. Looks like we're getting kind of back to that now again, doesn't it, in our country? Verse 17 concludes the record of what Paul and Barnabas said in stopping the people in Lystra from offering sacrifice to them. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Nevertheless is the translation of a combination of words which emphasize the reliability of the words which follow. It is variously understood in the sense of and yet, and surely, or and of course. He left not himself without witness. Although he let them go in their own ways, he provided a witness for them. Where he refers to the living God, it means he left himself with a witness. He revealed himself plainly. Without witness and himself have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, not without witness himself he left, or with witness himself he left. How did he leave this witness? In that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness, speaks of God's gracious provision for humanity. It's used in conjunction with the word meaning left himself with a witness, or revealed himself, plainly indicating how God revealed himself. In spite of their sinfulness that God allowed them to experience, he did good things for them. In that he did good is simply doing good, in the sense of by doing good or by being benevolent, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. God did good for sinful humanity by giving them rains from heaven and fruitful seasons or fruitful times. It indicates how God did good, meaning how God was benevolent. Us, of course, refers to Paul and his Gentile listeners. Paul's approach to the pagan Gentiles was to point them to general revelation, rather than to what the scriptures have to say, as he would have done with the Jews. From heaven and rain have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, from heaven to us rains, giving and fruitful seasons or times. Filling our hearts with food and gladness is used in conjunction with gave, indicating result. It's understood in the sense with the result that he satisfied our hearts with food or with nourishment, and with gladness, meaning with joy or with cheerfulness. Verse 18 hints at the difficulty Paul and Barnabas had in restraining the people of Lystra from offering sacrifice unto them. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And with these sayings is, and by these sayings, or by saying these things, where these things refers to what Paul and Barnabas said in verses 15 through 17, these things has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and these things saying, scarce speaks of something being hard to accomplish in the sense of with difficulty. Restrained they the people as they dissuaded the crowds that they had not done sacrifice unto them, is with the result that they did not sacrifice to them. Now, reading between the lines right here, it would seem to me that when they saw that they did not, or they were not going to do sacrifice, they said something like, whew, glad that's over. But it wasn't long before verse 19 shows up and it records Paul's being stoned. And I don't mean with drugs or with alcohol. Dragged outside of Lystra and left for dead. How much time elapsed between the events of verses 18 and 19 is not stated. Might have been a very short period of time. Might have been a few days. We don't know. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. I wonder what was going through Paul's mind as this was taking place. Or perhaps I wonder what was going through Barnabas' mind as this was taking place with Paul. Well, I don't know, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if Barnabas was wondering if he'd be next. And I wouldn't have been all surprised if Barnabas was, or Paul was thinking, I'm on my way to heaven. Okay? But neither one of those things perhaps happened. Anyway, we don't know. We're just imagining what might have taken place. And continues the narrative, but takes it in a slightly different direction in the sense of now or then. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Is Jews came or arrived from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, where who refers to the Jews who came from Antioch and Iconium, and where the people seemed to be those pagans from Lystra who had been preparing to offer sacrifice for Paul and Barnabas. It is used in conjunction with Drew, indicating time, or in fact, in addition to Drew, its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of Drew. It is literally, and having persuaded the people or the crowds, if showing time, it's understood in the sense of after they persuaded the people. If showing a fact in addition to Drew, it's understood in the sense of they persuaded the people. These people seem to be some of those who had been thwarted in their effort to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. And having stoned Paul is also used in conjunction with Drew, indicating time, or a fact in addition to Drew. Its tense likewise indicates that its action occurred before the action of Drew. But of showing time, it's understood in the sense of after they stoned Paul. If it's understood in the sense of showing a fact in addition to Drew, it's understood in the sense of they stoned Paul. It was apparently the pagans from Lystra who stoned Paul rather than the Jews who stirred these pagans up. Drew him out of the city is they were dragging him out of the city. It indicates that he had been stoned within the city of Lystra, and that the people were dragging his supposedly lifeless body out of the city. As indicated by the italics, him, which refers to Paul, has been supplied by the translators. Out of the city means out of Lystra. Supposing he had been dead is literally having considered him to have died. Supposing is having thought, having believed, or having considered. Supposing is used in conjunction with Drew, indicating cause. It is understood in the sense of because they supposed, because they thought, because they believed, or because they considered, and the action of supposing came before the action of Drew. Those who stoned Paul left him for dead. But Luke does not state that he was dead. We must remember that although Paul's being stoned must have seemed really tragic to these believers in Lystra, it occurred within the will of God. Although he could have prevented it, God allowed it. Let's never forget that as for God, his way is perfect. You and I may likewise experience things which at the time seem to be tragic, but we must remind ourselves that God is always in control and he never makes a mistake. As for God, his way is perfect. Romans 8:28 is clear, and so is Psalm 37:23. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he," meaning the Lord, "delighteth in his," meaning in the good man's way. hard to imagine, if you're Paul, how this is working for your good at this time. And you've been in situations like that. Hard to imagine how this could possibly be for my good. But God says it is. In the first half of verse 30, make that 20, the disciples observed Paul rising up and entering Lystra. Going back in that same place? Yes. Howbeit introduces a statement in mild contrast to the crowds having stoned Paul and having dragged him out of the city because they thought he was dead. It's understood in the sense of but. As the disciples stood round about him, where him as Paul is used in conjunction with came, indicating time. Its action occurred before the action of came. It's understood in the sense of while the disciples surrounded or encircled him. The disciples would seem to have been recent converts to Christianity. One wonders if Timothy might have been one of those standing around Paul at this time. Paul states in 2 Timothy 3:10 through 12, "But thou," meaning you, Timothy, "hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra." Was Timothy there? Well, he's from Lystra. He seems to have been saved on this first missionary journey of Paul. "What persecutions I endured, but out of all them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Don't you be surprised if you end up having some persecution because of your seeking to live a godly life. "He rose up" is also used in conjunction with came. I wonder how long they were standing around him, looking at him, before he rose up. Well, we don't have any way of knowing. It has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to came, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of came. Whether Paul was actually dead is not clear. If he was, then a miracle occurred in that he was resurrected from the dead. If he was not dead, then a miracle occurred in that he was divinely protected from being murdered. Do you suppose he was an absolute mess, looking like he had been beaten to a pulp for the next few weeks? Do you suppose that he hurt and had numerous aches and pains which lasted quite a while? Well, we're not told. But it would surely seem to me that he might at least have a headache out of this, a big headache. And they didn't have any Tylenol at the local drugstore back then. He came into the city. Is he entered the city? That is in Lystra. Inasmuch as the scriptural record is silent regarding any further trouble with those who had stoned Paul, one gathers that they may have no longer been in the area. They might have gone home rejoicing, thinking they had killed this guy. Little did they know. Well, as we move into the second half of verse 20, we see that Paul and Barnabas leave Lystra for Derbe the day after Paul was stoned. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And continues the thought of the first half of the verse. The next day is on the next day, that is the day after Paul was stoned in Lystra, dragged out of town and left for dead. He departed. Where he is, Paul is, he went out or away from Lystra. If he was still in pain and agony, you know, he's probably walking. Wouldn't have helped, but God allowed this. We have no way of knowing what he was experiencing. with Barnabas indicates that Barnabas accompanied Paul as he left Lystra. To Derbe indicates the town to which they traveled. In verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many. The first half of verse 21 indicates that Paul and Barnabas, undeterred by what had happened in Lystra, proclaimed the gospel in Derbe and taught many people. Derbe was located east, southeast of Lystra. How long were they in Derbe? We don't know. How long were they in Lystra? We don't know. How long were they in Antioch or Iconium? We don't know. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, it's the translation of two phrases used in conjunction with returned in 14:21. They have been translated as indicating time. Their tense indicates that their actions occurred before the action of returned. They mean having or after they preached the gospel, and having or after they taught many disciples to that city. That city is Derbe. No opposition to the gospel message or its messengers is mentioned in Derbe. And Derbe marks the last city in which Paul and Barnabas proclaimed the gospel before retracing their steps on their return to Antioch of Syria. According to Acts 16:1, Paul would again visit Derbe on his second missionary journey. How would you like to go back to where you had been stoned? You probably would avoid that city, but Paul did not. The second half of verse 21 indicates that Paul and Barnabas revisited Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. This time it was in the reverse order of their previous visits to each of these cities. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. They returned again is simply, they returned. To Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch indicates the cities to which Paul would pay a return visit. On his second missionary journey, which would come in a year or two, Paul would again visit Lystra, where he would encounter Timothy, who was apparently saved on one of Paul's two visits to Lystra on this missionary trip with Barnabas. Verse 22 indicates what Paul and Barnabas did as they revisited Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They confirmed the disciples, exhorted them to continue in the faith, and explained that tribulation would be the norm for believers. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Confirming the souls of the disciples is strengthening the souls of the disciples. It means that they strengthened the new believers spiritually by teaching them things that they needed to know. Now, I know that some denominations teach something along the fact of called confirmation, and then after people at age about 13 get confirmed in this period of time, they are added unto that church. We don't practice that. We practice confirming the souls of the disciples in every service. We preach the Bible. We teach the Bible. That's what we call strengthening the believers. So do we practice confirmation? We absolutely do. A whole lot more than most churches would. They were also exhorting them to continue in the faith, meaning encouraging them to remain in the faith. That is, not to abandon Christianity and return to whatever religious practices they had before believing the gospel message about Christ. Something such as saying should be supplied in the mind of the reader between and that, so that it reads, and saying that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. We refers to believers. Through much tribulation is through many oppressions or afflictions. that we must enter, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God, speaks of what believers should understand as being the norm which they should expect throughout the rest of their lives on earth as believers. Now listen, you and I have experienced some tribulation here and there, but not like the believers in the New Testament era. Now we don't mind not experiencing that, but don't be shocked if that happens to us in the future more than it has in the past. Verse 23 indicates that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every church in Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe. You see, on their ministry, they started churches. Now they're appointing elders in these towns, in these various churches. They also prayed with the believers and entrusted their converts' well-being to the Lord. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And continues the discussion of verse 22, indicating what Paul and Barnabas did in the various churches in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. When they had ordained is used in conjunction with commended. It has been translated as indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of commended. When they had ordained is having or after they laid hands on or appointed. And them refers to the people in the various churches and is understood in the sense of for them. Those on whom they laid hands, meaning on whom they ordained or whom they appointed, were ordained or appointed to be elders. Elders are presidents of the deliberative assemblies. It refers to the same people who are pastors or shepherds of their congregations, who are also bishops or superintendents of their congregations. The three terms elders, pastors, and bishops all refer to the same office, but to different functions the one man has within his local church. As elders, they were the chairmen of the individual churches, and each one would be in charge of his particular church. Okay, what that means is this church has one elder. I'm that one elder. This church has one pastor. I am that one pastor. This church has one bishop. I am the Baptist bishop of this church. Okay? That's what these terms mean. In every church. Is church by church? How many of these churches were there? There might have been more than one church in each town. We don't have any way of knowing. They were probably house churches. We understand that. And why do we understand? Well, they didn't have time to build any large buildings. And they probably didn't have a place where they could rent a building. The Jewish people weren't going to let them use the synagogues. The elders were likely saved Jews who were already familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. I say likely. We don't know for sure. And had prayed with fasting is used in conjunction with commended, indicating time and its action occurred before the action of commended. Fasting is plural in the Greek text. And it likely means that they prayed and fasted each time an elder was appointed in one of these churches. They commended them to the Lord. Where they refers to Paul and Barnabas, and where them refers to the individual believers is in each of the churches. It means they entrusted them to the care or protection of the Lord. And then they left. New churches, new leaders, and absent apostles. The Lord is Christ, as on whom they had believed, indicates. The believers had entrusted themselves to the Lord at the time of their salvation. Now, Paul and Barnabas were entrusting them to the Lord's care. They were full-fledged churches, self-governing and standing on their own before the Lord. What does that do with these satellite churches you seem to have in this area? Maybe they ought to get scriptural. Do you notice that Paul and Barnabas did not send these elders off to Bible college or seminary? Of course, there were no Bible colleges or seminaries in existence. However, the temporary sign gifts were still in existence, and God would use them to guide these believers before the scriptures were completed. Today we have the scriptures to guide us, and it is the scriptures we must be following and proclaiming. And if you're looking for that in your notes, I put it in there after I printed yours, okay? So I have more lengthy notes than you do. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, I added here. Now there are diversities, meaning various kinds of gifts, spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation, meaning the spiritual gift, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, meaning to each one for the benefit of all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. These would have been used to guide the elders or pastors as they led their congregations. They're no longer given once the New Testament was completed. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. They would get prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the selfsame, meaning the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, meaning individually, as he will. Dividing to each one as he wills. Do you mean that's how God guided these new churches? Without pastors having gone to Bible college and seminary and gotten ordained elsewhere? Yes, that's how he did it. You do know that the Bible college movement, while helpful, is not necessarily as scriptural as some people think it is. Okay? A lot of guys go to these Bible colleges and seminaries and learn things they should not have been taught. All right, I was part of one. I know a little bit about it. I've seen a lot of the products of some of the Bible colleges and seminaries, and I wouldn't want to sit under their leadership. I just tell you that. It would not be long before the Judaizers would infiltrate these churches, teaching that believers need to keep the entire law, including circumcision, in order to be saved. And Paul would respond to this by writing the epistle to the Galatians. As Paul and Barnabas were drawing their missionary trip to a close, they retraced their steps through Pisidia and eventually through Pamphylia. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, as used in conjunction with came, indicating time, its action occurred before the action of came. Antioch is located in the territory known as Pisidia. As translated, passed through Pisidia may suggest that they went to various parts of Pisidia rather than merely traveling along a certain road. And if they did, you know they were witnessing wherever they went. However, the same Greek word is translated passed through in Acts 15:3, where it suggests that Paul and Barnabas and their company merely traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria on their way to Jerusalem. They came to Pamphylia, a territory south of both Pisidia and Lycaonia, which contained both Lystra and Iconium. Pamphylia bordered the Mediterranean Sea, and Perga and Attalia were located in Pamphylia. Paul and Barnabas came to Perga in Pamphylia, the city from which John Mark had abandoned them when he returned to Jerusalem. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they just kept preaching the word of God wherever they went. It's used in conjunction with the verb translated, they went down, indicating time. Its action occurred before the action of they went down into Attalia. When they had preached the word is after they had spoken the word, meaning the message of salvation in Perga, the city in which the message of salvation was proclaimed by Paul and Barnabas. Then they went to Attalia. They went down into Attalia. Why did they go down? Because Attalia's sea level. They descended unto Attalia. Attalia was at a lower elevation than Perga. Attalia was the seaport. From Attalia, they sailed to Antioch in Syria. And thence, meaning from there, from Attalia, they sailed to Antioch. They sailed away unto Antioch of Syria. Now, there's two Antiochs. One is in Pisidia, which they had visited on this mission trip. One is in Syria, where they had come from. It was from Antioch in Syria that Paul and Barnabas had been sent on their missionary journey. From whence, meaning from where? And it means from Antioch in Syria. They had been recommended. They had been entrusted or given over or been handed over to the grace of God. Suggests to the gracious care of God. Did God care for them with grace? Of course he did. What about when Paul was stoned? God was still caring for him with grace. For the work, meaning unto the work, which speaks of their mission of presenting the gospel to Jews and Gentiles in Cyprus and in places in modern-day Turkey, such as Perga, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, which they had fulfilled, suggests which they had completed or which they had finished now that they had returned to Antioch. I wonder how long this missionary trip took. It wasn't a matter of 2 or 3 weeks. It might have been a couple of years. We don't know. In verse 27, Paul and Barnabas reported on their missionary trip and shared with the church how that many Gentiles had been saved. And then when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. We happen to have a missionary coming this coming Wednesday. He's going to report on his work in Kenya. We hope you can be here. And when they were come is used in conjunction with rehearsed, indicating time. Its action occurred before the action of rehearsed. It's understood in the sense of after they, meaning after Paul and Barnabas had arrived or after they were present and had gathered the church together is used in conjunction with rehearsed, indicating time. It's understood in the sense of and after they assembled the church or had called the church together, they rehearsed. Where they, as Paul and Barnabas, means they reported. And what they reported is all that God had done with them, is what things God did with them. They gave God the credit for accomplishing everything on their trip. It was God who produced all the results. It has been translated as emphasizing the result of its action, and we must always remember that whatever spiritual results are achieved in our various ministries, whether in our homes, our businesses, or our churches, we must always remember that God is the one who has achieved these results. All the credit and glory belongs to him and not to us. And how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, where he is God. It is, and that he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. The translation "had opened" emphasizes the result of God's opening a door of faith to the Gentiles. The door remained open. It was God, rather than Paul and Barnabas, who was responsible for the Gentiles being saved. We must likewise give God the credit for anything and everything that gets accomplished in our ministry or in our families. It is not my great teaching or my great organization that accomplishes God's work in this church. It is God. Let's never forget that. In Antioch, Paul and Barnabas stayed a long time after their missionary trip, which had taken them as far as Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, before returning to Antioch in Syria. How long they had spent in each place is not indicated. And there they abode long time with the disciples. And there means, and in Antioch of Syria. They abode, again they as Paul and Barnabas, as they were remaining or they were staying. Its tense indicates continuing action in past time. Long time is literally not a little time, which means that their stay was lengthy. But its exact length is unknown. With the disciples suggests with the believers in Antioch of Syria. It would be during their stay in Antioch that reports would come to them that the Judaizers had infiltrated the churches in Galatia and were teaching that believers had to obey the law in addition to believing the gospel. In response to this, as I've already said, Paul wrote his letter to the Galatians. The healing of an impotent man in Lystra amazed the people, who then attributed deity to Paul and Barnabas, referring to Barnabas as Jupiter and Paul as Mercury, and prepared to worship them with a sacrifice. With difficulty, Paul and Barnabas stopped the effort of the people to worship them. Subsequently, Paul was stoned, dragged outside of Lystra, and left for dead. But the disciples observed Paul rising up and re-entering Lystra. In the second half of verse 20, Paul and Barnabas leave Lystra for Derbe, where, undeterred by what had happened in Lystra, they proclaimed the gospel and taught many people. They then revisited Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch in the reverse order of their previous visits to each of these cities. They confirmed the disciples, exhorted them to continue in the faith, and explained that tribulation would be the norm for believers. They also appointed elders in every church, prayed with the believers, and entrusted their converts' well-being to the Lord. As Paul and Barnabas were drawing their missionary trip to a close, they retraced their steps through Pisidia and eventually through Pamphylia. They then came to Perga in Pamphylia, the city from which John Mark had abandoned them when he returned to Jerusalem. Then they left Perga, went down to Attalia, from where they sailed to Antioch in Syria. It was from Antioch in Syria that Paul and Barnabas had been sent on their missionary journey, and they shared with the church how that many Gentiles had been saved. And Paul and Barnabas then stayed a long time in Antioch. And so we have concluded this missionary journey which Paul and Barnabas had taken. I wonder, where do you stand spiritually? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believing that he died on the cross in payment for your sins and that he then rose again from the dead? If you haven't, you need to. And I would love to have you tell me as you depart this morning. I'll be at that door back there where you leave and find your car, I'd be glad to show you from the Bible or have somebody else show you from the Bible how that you can be certain that you're on your way to heaven. That's your invitation. Feel free to speak to me about it. I'd be glad to help you. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the privilege as well as the opportunity of coming and singing thy praises and studying thy word. I pray that you'll help these dear folks to learn thy word and to live in accordance with it, with each one being genuinely born again, saved by the blood of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.